We talked about this, and basically, he wanted his life back. Mm. He didn't want to have to work on holidays. He didn't want to be away from more family gatherings. He didn't want to have to, as we had to do in the past, take a shower with your phone up against the shower door so you could see a text that's coming in, or take your phone with you to the urinal and hold it in one hand while you're trying to take care of your business in the other.
Do you still have to wash both hands if you do that? Or just the one? I'm asking for a friend. That's Adam Schefter talking about it.
Do you get out of the shower if you have to pee?
I'm not one of those guys that pees in the shower.
Uh-huh.
I do. So. I get out.
Do you?
Yeah.
And sit down.
And sit down. Yeah. And then I got to wipe off the toilet seat because I'm wet. But anyway, I pee sitting down.
You're like a polite woman.
Well, thank you. I always leave the seat down. You don't have to worry about that.
Never forget.
Yeah. By the way, I don't pee sitting down at work, just so people know. Like,
you don't pee at all at work if someone's in the room.
That's true. Well, not pee is not. I don't have an issue with that. I'll cross streams with you. I just want to poop alone. That's it. I just want to be left alone. I don't poop with friends. I don't leave the door open. No. Anyway, where are we going here? We're talking about Woj. That's what happened. Jeremy Kahn, Ed Norris, Ryan Ripken, Big Bad Morning Show. Rob's off this week. All right. So I thought it was interesting what he said, because I never thought about that aspect of that type of job where you probably have an idea of certain times, you know, like baseball's off season, you might get something big, but it might not happen for like 4 weeks or something. So maybe you're not always on. But I never thought about the fact that, because when something comes down, you have to be first when you're one of those guys, when you're Schefter, when you're Woj, when you're Shams. I mean, you can go on and on, the baseball guys passing Rosenthal. Like, everybody wants to be first, and that's one of the reasons why X and Twitter has been such a cesspool, is that you get a lot of misinformation. Those are the guys you can trust.
Right.
Woj, whenever he had something, was great. I thought he was just spot on. He did the one thing during the NBA draft where they said, you can't announce the players that are getting drafted. And then he would do this thing. He's like, I hear the Charlotte Hornets are really liking LaMelo Ball in this draft. Hey, with the number 3 pick, the Charlotte Hornets take LaMelo Ball. You know, he was doing stuff like that. But, Ed, let me throw it at you first. You have a situation here where you have this reporter that's greatly respected. Do you, hearing what Adam Schefter said, do you kind of understand it?
Yeah, I do. Absolutely. But I mean, I've had jobs where you have no life, your family, and the people say what they want. They're absolutely neglected.
You still have those jobs.
No, I don't. This is, I used to be somebody. Now this is like, I always tell these guys, right? I used to have 41,000 armed people under my command.
And now I make fun
now
of him.
Now I take crap from him.
Yeah, you got Jeremy.
It's like, how far have I fallen? It's just,
how many lockers would you have shoved me into?
Oh.
It's just like, get me out of here.
But it is, because there is a point where it's like, people always ask, why do you like this job? Like, I went from having one of the most serious, someone in this building who may or may not be a really big boss came to me, was trying to describe the pressure of radio. You don't understand, I'm under tremendous pressure. He's like, giving a sniper the green light, that's pressure. This is kind of like fun. This is just like, and it's a fun job where you're home on the holidays, you're with your family, it's a lot of flexibility. So there's a lot to be said for that. And I do believe people pursue that because, you know, so all the people watching these guys going, yeah, I wish it. You have no idea the grind these guys are on. I mean, you have no idea whatsoever what it's like. And you get to, you know, reap the benefits when you're taking a dump or you was having your coffee. You want to read what they got on your phone and like, yeah, that's nice. You have no idea what goes into it for them. So it's like they neglect a lot and they miss a lot. And like I tell you, life is short, man. That's guaranteed. So,
well, Ryan, you get to see it from the other aspect of, you know, being an athlete and obviously not having family that early on. But like it is something where if you're putting in that type of effort, it takes a lot of time away from certain things. I've even talked about this job, and I don't want to compare it to what Woj is doing, but I'm one of those guys, I don't like to miss anything, so I try to watch everything, and hopefully that comes across that way, because I will tell you if I didn't see something. Mm-hmm. But at what point, like my wife would come in and say, hey, can we do this? No, I have to watch this game. And then you have to learn how to juggle that a little bit. So like if I want to do something, if I want to miss an Oriole game, which I never want to miss, but like if you want some downtime, Fridays and Saturdays are the best ones because usually on Sunday or Monday, we're talking about Sunday's game. So like And then you go back and you still watch it, but yeah. It's like, you know, you try to find that time to juggle it with family and things. What are your thoughts on Logan?
It's non-negotiable when you're in that type of lifestyle, right? Whatever job requires you to be your best self. And I know with every job you're saying, hey, I got to be the best version. Or I want to put my time in. But we know that there's different circumstances of your line of work. You know, Ed was just talking about for him, like that type of pressure, that type of stress. And you are accountable for so many people. You have to make that type of sacrifice because you're trying to do the right thing there, right? So in sports, look, I mean, if you're trying to be the top guy, like who Woj was for that, you have to then sacrifice to make sure that you are on time and on top of everything. I got to talk to Jeff Passan. You mentioned him.
Love him.
You know, in Passan, I even asked, go, you know, dude, how do you manage a little bit of free time? I go, I know you have a family. And I go, he was talking about being in an amusement park. And he talked about a story of, you know, I put my phone down for 15 minutes and I got all these messages or inside information about it. And then I got to put it on and go to work. And he goes, I try to balance it, but my family knows I have to do it. It's given us a good opportunity and chance, but that's where it is. Now he's gotten to a point now where people will wait on him, but for Woj or Schefter, mm-hmm. you're battling that someone else is going to get news out that still can be credible. On top of that.
And the way sports works, it's not just when the games are played. I mean, you know, you could be, whatever, relaxed with your family or something, and something big. Receiver in the NFL gets pulled out of his car by the police in Miami. I mean, this is now, it's like, oh, yeah. I got to talk about this. It's like, things happen.
First time I took a vacation in radio, I had a bunch of my buddies were going up for a poker tournament in Atlantic City. So I took off. I'd never taken off, so I took off. Rafael Palmeiro got busted for steroids, and Jamal Lewis tore his ACL. And I said, holy hell, man. How is this happening? Like, it's the first time I took off and this happened.
You get criticized. When I was police commissioner, first vacation I'd taken in years with my family. Took them to Mexico with a bunch of families from here. I was there a day. The United States starts bombing the Middle East because of...
Oh, my God.
So I have to make emergency arrangements to come back. I tell them who I am, show my ideas. I have to get a flight out of here. I leave my family in Mexico. The son comes after me. The one person that should have known we were going to war was in Mexico. The president called me, and I had my phone on, you know, airplane. What kind of stupid comment is that? But that's the crap they pull. Mm-hmm. Like, you can't even have a life, you know, without some kind of unfair criticism, some exactly, you know, idiotic things like that. The one person that should have known did not know he was in Mexico. Okay.
Well, we're going to switch gears here a little bit. I mean, look, this all the best to Woj. And I thought he was great at what he did. And if this is what he wants, more power to you. Mm-hmm. I guess everybody will be following Shams now. And he'll become the top guy in the NBA. Or maybe he had already done that. We're going to switch gears, talk some Ravens. We've got some interesting stuff coming up with Zay Flowers. Also with Suggs and Yanda. We'll talk about whether or not they're going to get in the Hall of Fame. But the Zay Flowers stuff, he stressed communication and how important it is among the team and added they need to be truthful to each other. What do we make of that comment? You'll hear from all of us and hear from you. 410-583-1057.
Storming the castle with the Big Bad Morning Show.
Sponsored by Window Nation. Right now, buy two windows from Window Nation and get two free. Plus, zero down and no interest or payments for 2 years. Schedule an estimate now at 866-90-NATION or windownation.com.
1057 The Fan.
More communication, more people just being truthful with each other, and we got to start having mistakes. And I feel like we not losing the game. I feel like we beating ourselves. So once we start doing that, then we'll be all right.
That's Zay Flowers, obviously talking about what's happened these past two games, talking about communication, how important it is. I don't think he said anything that's necessarily out of line or that should cause you to be worried. Like, in sports, you have to have communication. It doesn't matter. Like, you know, my big deal is basketball, baseball for Ryan, football for you, and I know we've all played other sports as well. But, like, you got to communicate on defense and offense. You got to let people know when picks are coming. You got to communicate. We talked about it in baseball. Yep. Fly ball to the outfield. We almost saw two guys from the Giants run into each other. It's interesting that we talked about that. They couldn't hear one another yelling, I got it. They made the catch, Yastrzemski and the second baseman, I believe. But anyway, and then, of course, in football, you got everything's about communicating. You need to know, do I have help over the top? Where am I going to be? What's everything. This play call?
The line calls.
So I don't think anything's out of the ordinary. And then the weird thing about what Zay said, Ed, is like, they're the number one offense in football right now, whether you realize it or not. I didn't realize it until somebody told me yesterday. They are the number one offense in football. It just sounds strange to say that because they're 0-2.
Yeah, it's been an extraordinarily, I think, disappointing start to the season. And I hate to do this because you're not supposed to, but I do blame officiating for a lot of this. They should have. Their game against the Chiefs was ridiculous.
Yeah.
You call the Ravens for 55, you know, illegal formation penalties that were absurd, and you have guys in the Chiefs line up in the freaking backfield, and you ignore it. And don't tell me that you can't leave it in the ref's hands. They control the game. Of course it's in their hands. You should be able to challenge everything.
I couldn't agree with you more. But the problem is we already went through this in challenging penalties.
Yeah.
We see it's pass interference, and they go look at it, and it's like, nah, what do you mean it's not? He grabbed him by the neck and pulled him down before the ball got there. How is that? It's just strange to look at those things. What about for you, Ryan, like communication? It's obviously paramount in all sports, so I don't think he's saying anything out of turn, but you have an issue with what Zay said?
No. Yeah, I mean, look, I think regardless, we're in a day and age, you say something, someone's going to interpret it in many different ways. But the reality in sports with anything, not just sports, life, business, whatever you want to do, you got to communicate. The better you communicate, the better off you're going to be in anything that you do. And for the Ravens, a lot of things, yeah, I agree. The officiating cases has been rough. But then also, the Ravens hurt themselves because of either, you know, not knowing their assignments, communication roles. Like in game one, the blown coverage and Kyle Hamilton said, hey, my bad. Well, that hurts. Sure. Xavier Worthy scores a touchdown, right? Mm. Third and one, Derrick Henry gets a false start, and it could have had a chance for the Ravens to extend the drive. And then knowing where the biggest threats for the Raiders were last week, Max Crosby makes that big play on first and 10 for the sack, second and 19, and Davante Adams had his way in big moments. So those guys beat you, and the communication part is you got to be on the same page. And when you're struggling, it's even that much more important because you can't get away with those mistakes as much.
Yeah, I mean, look, again, saying that communication, like it's everything, especially in football. Like the communication's coming in from the sideline for what the next play is going to be for offense or defense and what you're going to run. Mm-hmm. You know, the players need to talk to each other. And I like the one thing he said, it's about being truthful. It goes back to what we just said. Kind of constructive criticism. Like, are you doing the best that you can do for this team? Mm-hmm. Are your feelings going to get hurt when I bring it up that, hey, you're lacking. You need to be a little bit better. And it comes from some of the leadership. And that's why, like, you know, you wonder sometimes about quarterbacks screaming at offensive linemen. Because I don't know how many times they're getting patted on the back saying, hey, it's a great job, guys, great job. But, like, when they screw up, a lot of quarterbacks let them know. I remember that infamous sideline thing when Peyton Manning was yelling at Tarik Glenn or yelling at Jeff Saturday, and Tarik Glenn came over and said, nope, you're not going to do that. Take your ass over there. We're not listening to you. Go over there. Because sometimes it's a bit much, and you have to check each other. But we know it in this line of work, in most lines of work. People have feelings, and they get it twisted and get their feelings hurt.
Yeah. I tell you, with the Ravens, though, it's a big deal because I know I anybody expected to be 0-2 at this point. And by the way, they've got the Cowboys, Bills, and Bengals the next three games.
Yeah.
So, I mean, this could be a disastrous start to the season if they don't get their act together.
It's a pick 'em this weekend, too. Let's grab Dan here real quick, and Rising Sun wants to talk about Zay's comments. What's up, Dan?
Hey, guys. How you doing? First off, I'd like to give a shout-out to my boy Willie and my boys Bevin. Just want to give a quick shout-out to them. I think this communication issue has been a long, ongoing thing. I almost wonder if it's a lot to deal with Harbaugh and all of them. Listen, I think, like, it was the Zay Flowers thing is very, very similar. I feel like he retweeted something, I think, on Twitter the other day. It reminds me a lot of, like, the Hollywood Brown kind of situation a few years ago with the soldiers. Like, why do you have soldiers if you never want to use them? You know, I think it's just a lot of, like, mixed emotions with this team, man. And there's definitely something I feel like that's going on that we don't know about.
Mm-hmm.
But at the same time, I mean, you know, you got to get it together. You got to pull it through. I mean, I think this team has way too much talent to be in the position that we're in right now. I mean, and, you know, there's a bunch of different issues, but I think as a whole, I mean, there's so many different things that we got to just clean up if we want to be able to make a run at this
Dan,
thing.
Thanks for the phone call, man. I think there's some interesting points there as far as, not the shout-outs, but the other stuff. Talking about how you have to communicate here with certain players and, you know, getting into it after the fact that, like, again, guys will get their feelings hurt when you try to check them about something they were doing. I loved week one where Marlon Humphrey's looking over. He's just looking around like, where's my help over the top? And everybody's wondering, like, was that his fault? Was it someone else's fault? And then as soon as they get a chance to speak to the media, Kyle Hamilton's like, I messed that up. That was my responsibility. Take ownership over it. We all make mistakes, right? Mm-hmm. And that was my biggest point with, like, And one of the reasons why I hate the industry we're in now, because it's become hot take central. I can say whatever I want, and I can just move on from it as long as you click on it and you talk about it and the video goes viral because it's something stupid. That's all these talking heads do. They'll say something as crazy as it could be and then just keep moving along from it because they don't have anybody that's checking them except the people around them. You can say whatever you want on social media, but until you get them in a public forum and say, wait a minute, that's stupid. That's why I like Chase Daniel, the backup quarterback that's on FN, because he's gone at some of these other guys going, that's ridiculous. What are you talking about? Did you watch the film? He's been checking all of them. So anyway, we got to step out. We got World of Stupid coming up at 7:45. Up next, though, we'll try to take some more calls here, talk a little bit about Suggs and Yanda. Do you see these guys as first ballot Hall of Famers? I'll let you into a little secret of some of the things that goes on behind the scenes just from learning from Scott Garceau and being in that room. I think it's going to be a lot more difficult than what most people think, but we'll take your calls as well. 410-583-1057, right here on The Fan. All right, welcome back. Jeremy Kahn, Ed Norris, Ryan Ripken's here with us today. He's been here all week. Rob Long is off. He'll be back, I think, next week. So a lot that we're discussing, and I love talking about the Hall of Fame because the NFL Hall of Fame is different than the rest of them. You have a certain number of people that are getting in. They try to make it more difficult. You're not supposed to look at what happens off the field, although it happens. Like Darren Sharper had a pretty damn good career, and then people looked at what he did, and he ain't get in. He didn't even get a sniff, and then now he's kind of off the ballot. So make sure if you get in trouble, it's after you get in the Hall of Fame, because then they don't take you out, O.J. Simpson.
OJ.
But no, like the Ravens have two that are coming up with Suggs and Yanda. Are they first ballot Hall of Famers? And here's where I would tell everybody just to pump your brakes a little bit, and I'll get your guys' take on this because I want to hear from you. The one thing I learned from Scott is, like, you get the presentation in that room. It's all a matter of who you come up against. It's all a matter of who's been waiting to get in. The problem that we've seen here in years past is they have a logjam at wide receiver. They've gotten some of those guys in from, you know, Torrey Holt, T.O., Randy Moss, Isaac Bruce, Reggie Wayne. Like, all these, they were all at the, and you look at their careers, they're all very similar. You're nitpicking when you're scratching one of them out. They're all Hall of Famers. Just a matter of who gets in. I absolutely, without a shadow of a doubt, think Marshall Yanda and Terrell Suggs are Hall of Famers. I don't know that they're first ballot. I think Suggs has a better chance of getting in. But again, if they don't get in on the first ballot, I wouldn't be like shocked or upset, because you've had some guys, the ones that have been presented so far that have gotten in, J.O., Ray Lewis, Ed Reed. I mean, those guys were obviously first ballot Hall of Famers. And the one thing I'll say for T.O., or Terrell Suggs, excuse me, is that he does have a Defensive Player of the Year, which should help. So, Ed, let me throw it to you. Do you think, first of all, I'm assuming you think both these guys are Hall of Famers.
I do.
Do you think they're first ballot Hall of Famers?
Oh, boy. I think Suggs has a better shot because it's a position where you actually have numbers attached to it. I think was he the eighth leading sack guy in NFL history? And you look at the guys ahead of him, that's a pretty heady list. I mean, you're talking about, you know, obviously Bruce Smith and Reggie White and Kevin Green, Julius Peppers. I mean, right, Michael Strahan's three sacks ahead of him. He's right there. I mean, I'm just looking at, he's number eight, right behind Jason Taylor. I think he's got a really good shot at being a first ballot Hall of Famer. I don't know how many other edge rushers are going in, though, right now. So that's the problem. Yanda, I think, is going to have a tougher time because offensive linemen, it's a tough get because, you know, there's no stats attached to these guys. But you do know, like, you know, you got like an Andrew Faneca, somebody like that, or, you know, Joe Thomas, you know, guys like that. You know when you see it, you know, you got like a J.O. Like, when you see greatness, you know he's a Hall of Famer. I think Yanda is absolutely that guy, but I don't know if he's going to be first ballot.
It's funny, like, as we talk about this, Ryan, they said there's 167 players that are technically up for this to get into the Hall of Fame. We're not going to hear all those names. It's just, you know, like, we could talk about Sean Alexander. I don't think we're talking about Terry Allen. You know, like, there's just names that are available. There's no Donovan McNabb and Eli Manning are the big names that are going to be eligible this time. Steve McNair is now eligible or has been eligible. I don't know if he ever gets in. But, you know, sometimes there's a push post-mortem when things happen. But when I start looking at this, and I talked about the logjam at wide receiver, Anquan Boldin, Torrey Holt, Chad Johnson's there. Trying to think of some of these guys that would be good. Steve Smith Sr., thanks. I was just getting to him. Demaryius Thomas, Reggie Wayne. Reggie Wayne should have been in years ago, but again, I'm biased on that. But you start looking at those names, Ryan, there's a logjam because there's so many good players and only a handful of them are going to get in.
Yeah, it's way different than the Baseball Hall of Fame in that sense. Well, especially
you got to get a percentage in baseball,
it's
right?
It's a percentage in baseball, and criteria, and I'd like to say in some cases that one thing I think you're making a point where you say that judgment shouldn't matter for players. There's always some sort of judgment of people that get brought in. Because even for baseball, it was the steroid situation. But in football or anything you do, whatever you do off the field, it does get brought into account. Like Terrell Owens was a guy for the longest time. Stat-wise on the field, he probably should have been eligible or should have been selected well before that. But again, that's another criteria that gets brought into it. And I agree. I think Suggs definitely has the best chance to try to make it the first time. His numbers are great. But again, where does that criteria or the logjam fit? And Yanda, same thing. He's going to go down if people watch him. He has one of the best offensive linemen the game's ever seen, specifically at the guard position. So, but you know, where does it stand? It's just not as easy. Offensive linemen don't always get the glory that they deserve, but eventually he should get in.
So here, go ahead.
Why is it a question for Ryan about, like, back to baseball Hall of Fame voting? Now we're talking about football, but does it? I don't know how you feel. It really pisses me off with the baseball writers when they refuse to give. Like, I mean, I know, you know, Mariano Rivera got is the perfect score. Who voted against Tom Seaver? Who voted against Ken Griffey? Like, yeah. Come on, man. Like, why do you have to be like... You
know? There was writers, to your point, there was writers that have said that they wouldn't vote for certain guys because they played in the era.
Yeah.
But then, like, Mariano Rivera played in that era. Derek Jeter didn't get it. But Ken Griffey Jr., one of the most talented players you've ever seen, but that's to your point.
Yeah.
And there is a reason, but not for the baseball reason.
No, well, guys feel like you can't. No one deserves it the first time, and no one should be a unanimous pick. Yeah, Tom Seaver's a unanimous pick.
Yeah.
There's somebody's greatest player in the history of the game.
I hate that, by the way. It's so
my
stupid.
God.
It's like, that one writer in Philadelphia that would never vote for somebody the first time on the ballot.
It's like, are you born like, you just got to be a prick about everything?
Yeah.
Just like, did you become this way?
So real quick, just to throw this at you before we step out, and I'm going to move the world of stupid back to 8 o'clock. We got a boatload of phone calls of people that want to discuss some of the stuff we've been talking about. Defensive linemen that have a chance to go up against Terrell Suggs. You have names like John Abraham, Jared Allen, Leroy Glover, Simeon Rice, Justin Tuck. Vince Wilfork, who's more of an interior lineman, but you get it. And some of these, there's some other names there, but I think Suggs is one of the best that's going to be in that group. And then on top of it, he might be, I'm trying to see, they put Suggs at linebacker. So if you have James Harrison, Bill Romanowski, Willie McGinnis, Teddy Bruschi, Cornelius Bennett, Lance Briggs. These are some of the names, Takeo Spikes, names you would know. I'm not saying any of these guys are better than Suggs, but when you get to the offensive lineman, here's where I think the dilemma is for someone, and we talk about not producing statistics. Willie Anderson, Matt Burke, Lomas Brown, Travis Frederick, the longtime center for the Cowboys, Ryan Khalil, Lincoln Kennedy. These were all big names. Nick Mangold. How's his sister doing, by the way? Holly. She was a big bench presser. She squat a lot of weight. Big girl.
She's enormous.
Yeah, I love her. Anyway, Joe Staley, Mark Schlereth, Jeff Saturday. Like, I bring him up. He was a good player, but he's on TV now all the time, and I wonder what that does for him.
Steve, I think Mangold may be the best of the bunch.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So again, you're up against it with some of the names that are out there. Let's do this. As I said, I'm going to call an audible in Omaha. We're pushing the world of stupid back to 8. Up next, we're going to take your phone call. Shiloh, Kai, Antonio, Kevin, John, and you. 410-583-1057. All right. Let's roll through some phone calls here. Big Bad Morning Show, Jeremy Kahn, Ed Norris, Ryan Ripken, Rob Long is off. First up is Kai in Reisterstown. Kai, you're on the fan. What's up, man?
Good morning, fellas. Good morning. Welcome back, Ed.
Thank you, man.
Feeling better, man. Hey, look, man, we are halfway through a quarter of the season. Yesterday is a history. Tomorrow is a mystery. I feel like we're going to finish 2-2. The division is still up for grabs, and they still can have a shot at that. But I think the underdog path or route to the big game, I think it might be best and suited for this team. I think our coaching staff have a problem with in-game adjustments for the longest time, but I think the solution to the offensive line, fellas, is more speed at the skill positions. And like Keaton Mitchell, I don't think people understand how much of a loss that was. He gave us a glimpse of what that offense could look like with speed. So I'm looking at it like the speed will slow down the pass rush. A Baltimore kid like Deontay Hardy, he could help. I mean, I know he returned kicks, Jeremy, but he could bring that speed to the table. And even as a decoy, a decoy is that's like an unexpected weapon to have, and it could help Zay, perhaps help Zay get down the field more. So it's just a different dynamic that the coaches, I think they should look at, because you don't have anybody out there you can go get with this offensive line. I mean, the season's still up for grabs. That's all I want to say, fellas.
Appreciate the call. That was Reverend Al Sharpton in Ricerstown with his rhyming. Way to go. I don't think the speed thing's an issue. I would like to see Hardy get some of the reps that Zay Flowers is getting in those type of gadget roles. That doesn't mean I want Zay Flowers coming off the field. I just like to see him throw the ball down the field to him a little bit more. And you can sit here and talk about speed. No matter how fast those guys can get down the field, if Lamar can't get through those progressions in the time that the offensive line is giving him, I mean, he can try to create, but you could wind up behind the sticks more than you want.
Yeah, absolutely.
So just something to think about. Let's grab Shiloh in West Baltimore. What's up, Shiloh?
Good morning, guys. Good morning. You know there's a lot I can say. I don't have enough time. Look, I want to pick it back off of him real fast, right? And it's just so much to say. I'm just so mad at this front office, man. I say this because I was going to speak about something else, right? But what did these guys see in training camp in the preseason from this offensive line? Because I feel like they dropped the ball, because when you lost those guys like the Morgan Moses of the world, like, these other guys don't have it. So what did you think? Like, what did I don't know, it was the president, they didn't want to spend no money, was it Eric the college fly, he had faith? Because at the end of the day, if they don't get no help over there, which they can't go out there and sign nobody right now because it's too late, but Lamar going to get killed, and I feel like that a lot of people are not taking that blame. For instance, I see Harbaugh starting to come out. They say Harbaugh never throws players on the bus, but if you listen to him, he's starting to throw the old line on the bus. But at the end of the day, I feel like it's their fault they didn't bring nobody right. And right now, what's your plan B? Because at the end of the day, I don't see no depth at the offensive line. And I'll say this, right? I'm going to ask y'all guys a question. I can't tell y'all what to say, but all that, who's going to replace them? I don't even want to hear that no more. But if we have a losing record in the midseason, right? If we have, because I look back on that game last year, and we got embarrassed in the second half because we didn't score no points and we stopped Mahomes, though, right? So that's questionable too. Like, these coaches get paid to put your players in a position to win, and I feel like they haven't been doing their job. But at the end of the day, if we have a losing record, right? In the midseason, or we have a losing record, period. I mean, do y'all think we need change at the head coach? But I feel like we do. I want to hear y'all play.
Shiloh, appreciate the phone call. I think if they don't make the playoffs, then there's definitely a chance that Harbaugh gets fired.
I think I agree with that. I think that the expectation is to get to where you were before, or obviously get to the Super Bowl. Anything less is going to be a problem.
You were the best team in football last year. You just didn't win the Super Bowl. What do you think, Ed? Do you think Harbaugh's seat either gets hotter or he gets let go if they don't make the playoffs?
Yeah. It's playoffs for this team? Absolutely. That's the minimum they should be achieving. Look, I don't know what the calculus was with these guys. I don't know why Zeitler's with the Bengals. I don't know why the Jets have two of our offensive linemen. Mm-hmm. I don't know what happened. Boy, I know they're all gone. And I think it's a glaring, glaring loss right now.
Let's go to Kevin in Ellicott City. Kevin, you're on the fan.
Morning, fellas. How y'all doing?
All right.
Welcome back, Ed.
Thank you, man.
So real quick, 2 points, that's all. I think the Orioles should go out and pull a tin cup and just get drunk, straight up.
Love
it. You know what I mean? Just turn up with Ryan Ripken and y'all be fine. But
what if they didn't get drunk? They just came over my house and we got up in my spaceship and we all just relaxed.
Hell yeah, do that too, Jay. Whatever it takes, I will come over to the spaceship for that too. But
yeah,
the Ravens, it's kind of a simple deal, right? The players got to play. They got to pick up their performance. They got to make the adjustments if the coaching staff ain't. And, we'll see what happens. I hope we beat the Cowboys. That's one team I just don't like to lose to.
Kev, appreciate the phone call, man. Good stuff. And, again, it's a pick 'em game this weekend with more of the money coming in on the Ravens. You can feel about that however you want. The question is, are the Cowboys bad? Did the Saints expose them, which the Browns couldn't? Are the Ravens actually good?
Dude, the Saints are averaging 45 points a game.
Everybody's talking about Clint Kubiak, their offensive coordinator. And I heard somebody go, hey, is Derek Carr kind of a good shot at, or at least a good buy to win the MVP right now?
Did I mention 45 points a game?
That's ridiculous.
It's ridiculous.
Man. Let's go to John in Bel Air. John, you're on the fan.
Hi, this is John. I've been listening to you for 3 years. This is the first time I was able to get through.
Oh, thanks.
I'm same with just about everybody else. If I was a manager, I would have fired Harbaugh at halftime. He does no adjustments. Crosby was eating our offensive tackle completely up. yet he puts Picard on the other side to block. I mean, and then the whole first quarter, all we did was run up the middle for 1 yard, and everybody was pinching into the center to get Humphrey. We do no misdirections, no screens, nothing. And I was always told this was a copycat league.
Yeah. And John, to your point, look, I appreciate the phone call. Like, it is something too, Ed, where I mean, I've been screaming for screen passes and more safe plays. I'd like to see a little bit more creativity on offense. And again, like with all these things you're asking, I still want them to run the football more. So I know there's a give and take to everything, and it all can't be done. But Ed, there is some frustration.
Well, it is kind of frustrating when you hear that, like the caller just said, they make no adjustments. The pregame with the Raiders, when they give you the keys to the game, Crosby was one of them. They've got to control it. What happened? How come everybody knows this?
I gave this stat out yesterday. The Raiders 0-40 when trailing by 10 points or more in the fourth quarter.
Really?
0-40. Well, good. I'm sorry, 1-40 now. One more phone caller here real quick because I don't know if we'll be able to get to him. Antonio in Rosedale, I know you want to talk to Ed. Go ahead, bud.
Hi, Ed.
What's up, man?
How you feeling?
I feel pretty good, all things considered. Thank you.
I'm glad you're back. Happy Friday, babe.
Happy Friday, babe.
Yeah, babe.
How you guys doing?
Good.
Assuming the Orioles keep the top wild card position, do they have a better chance against the Orioles or the Twins? Have a wonderful day, guys.
Let me throw that to you, Ryan. What do you think? Royals or Twins? Who do they match up better against?
Oh, man. I think right now you probably have more confidence against Minnesota because they're reeling. The Royals have struggled too, and we actually talked about it the other day, Jeremy, that I think the Royals could be a scarier matchup for Baltimore, but Baltimore's found a way to win those series against them, so I actually would be okay with either, but the team that seems to not have as much success in the playoffs specifically, probably the Twins.
Yeah, the Twins all right-handed starting pitching, too, if that's something that floats your boat with this left-handed lineup that the Orioles have primarily. Now, all right, so next hour we're going to talk to Jacob Calvin-Meyer. We'll have shovels. We'll get into some stuff with Lamar as well. But up next, it's the World of Stupid, and let me give you a little teaser here of what we're going to get into. There's a new death clock. Have you guys heard about this? It's an app that you can purchase that's going to tell you when you're going to die. It's stupid. We also got a guy who won a new car at the Oklahoma State Fair. He's being accused of doing something dirty to win the prize. I'll tell you what he did. And, God, this one's just tough. We talk about Darwin Awards all the time, people that die in stupid ways. Mm-hmm. Guy was trying to separate two frozen burgers and stabbed himself in the chest. We talk about that next in the World of Stupid.